It is good to be here, good to be together. So thank you for being here. Thanks for taking part of your Sunday to come together and to appreciate God and to be in fellowship, to be encouraged and encourage each other. So thank you for being here. I don't know how your past couple weeks have been since I saw you. There's all kinds of things in my life within a couple weeks. And so in the past couple of weeks, I have been happy enough to enjoy some music and dance with my kids in our kitchen. In the last couple of weeks, I have shed tears as I talked to my wife and asked her forgiveness for ways that I have hurt her. In the last couple of weeks, I've enjoyed seeing my kids go fishing and catch a fish in Ascarate Park. So I don't know if there's any other fish there. There's at least one fish in Ascarate Park, and we put it back. So if any of you guys want to go and try to catch it. In the past couple of weeks, I have felt this concern of trying to please other people and feeling like I let people down and being concerned that would hurt somebody and they might, I don't know, leave me or reject me, I guess. In the past couple weeks, I have sat there with God so content that I felt like if He never gave me another day of life, He's already given me more than I could ever ask for. In the past couple weeks, I have struggled to know if I should say yes or no to things. I had an opportunity to get another job opportunity, make a little extra income. I want to say yes, but I shouldn't say yes. Maybe I should, maybe. This battle of like trying to figure out what do I say yes to, what do I say no to. In the past couple of weeks, I've been all over the map. Pick a day, pick a time. Sometimes over the course of a couple hours, I will change. And sometimes I think something's wrong with me. Because when I look at other people, you all seem really stable. Like, you seem like you got things together. But my life is kind of like, and some of these little blips and then some of these big ones. But as I see it, the reality is we all go through these peaks and valleys of life. On the outside, people wouldn't know that. But as we know people, we realize that's true of all of us. All of us pass through those, and some of us might, you know, be a little more, I don't know, of a roller coaster. I certainly feel that way sometimes. Some of us might be, you know, just kind of a little smoother bandwidth, but it is part of life. So the reality is that we all go through hardships in life. Life has a lot of hardship in it. It really does. And I was thinking, you know, maybe the kids, I'd have to explain to them, trust me, when you get older, life's going to be hard. But even kids have hardship. My kids feel that all the time. Life's not fair. Other people get stuff I don't get, and I have to do these things I don't want to do. They're aware of it. And life is full of much happiness. There's all kinds of cool things in life to enjoy. And in each one of those, in the hardship and the happiness, there is a challenge and there's a blessing. And the challenge in hardship, Jesus describes a little plant growing, and He describes the hardship like the sun shining on it. And sometimes the hardship of life, the trials of life, can just take us out. They can just melt us, destroy us, if we turn from God in those. If we say, okay, God must not be good. God's not for me. The challenge of hardship is that it's so intense that we'll just turn from God. But the blessing of hardship is that we need God more than we ever know. And in that hardship, we have an opportunity to turn to God and see His goodness, see His power, and trust in Him. And let those roots go down so deep that we find water down deep. The water of God's love and strength. And when the sun comes, we don't wither. And then the challenge of the happiness is, Jesus describes the plant, and He says the pleasure of life is like this weed that chokes us out. And the challenges of the happiness of life is it chokes us out so much, it could, that we don't need God. Man, life is great. I have no reason to ever need Him. I have everything I need in myself. And to get choked out in that need, but the blessing of those happinesses is if we use those to appreciate God. What I have is a gift. It's not from me. This is a gift. Thank you for this moment. To use it as an opportunity to grow in appreciation for the Father of good gifts. He gives good gifts. And it's not about us. So what do we do with that? What do we do with the roller coaster? We're going to jump into a section today and kind of look at what God says about that. So 2 Corinthians is a letter that Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. Paul went and he started this church. He went and met people. People came to faith in Christ. And this little church started. And then this church started having all kinds of challenges. And so they sent a letter to Paul and said, "Hey, Paul, help us out. Things are going crazy in our church. We come together for communion. We got people that are just feasting and drinking wine and getting drunk. I don't think that's how it's supposed to be. We got people that are suing each other and taking each other to court. What should we do with that? We got people who are involved in these weird sexual immorality things. And they think, wow, it's great because God's grace. What do we do with that?" So he writes them a letter and he kind of gives them a whole bunch of advice on that and encourages them and tells them that they have everything they need in Jesus. And he sends it to them and then he's waiting. And he tells them to do some pretty hard stuff. And then his friend Titus goes to Corinth and Titus comes back from Corinth and says, "Hey, they responded really well to your letter. They did what you asked to do, even some really tough things. And they really love you and remember you well. And it's awesome what's happening there. They treated me like a king. They were great to me." And so then he writes them another letter, which is the letter that we just are kind of in right now. The second letter to the Corinthians. And in this letter, more than anywhere else, Paul shows kind of the ups and downs of his own life. During this time, he's going through some tremendous challenges. And so in this, we get a snapshot into his life. Paul, who in my eyes is a spiritual giant, he had a roller coaster in his life. It doesn't mean anything's wrong if we have a roller coaster in life. He did, and we're going to get a snapshot into his roller coaster. Why don't we pray and then kind of look at some truths that God has for us. Thank you, God, for this morning. Thank you for being faithful. I thank you for the worship this morning and the chance to remember your love. Thank you that your love never fails. It never runs out. It never goes dry. It never, ever ceases. Thank you, God, for the struggles in our lives. Though we don't enjoy them, thank you for the opportunity to trust you and see you. Thank you for the happinesses in our lives. Though they are not our life, they are a gift from you and we appreciate them. Thank you for your faithfulness and consistency. I pray that you would speak to us today, that we would see you through all of life, that we would grow closer to you and love you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you guys look on the back of your handout, we're going to just start there. These are just some of the phrases from the first 9 chapters of 2 Corinthians. And so these are just word for word exactly what Paul said. If you look at the very bottom, I just wanted to start with this. In many ways, 2 Corinthians is Paul's most personal letter. He reveals his pain and his joy, his outrage and his suffering, and his love and his convictions. 2 Corinthians is filled with profound feeling. So here's some of the hardship that Paul says. These are his exact words, well translated. A very severe trial, bad report, beatings, imprisonments, and riots. Conflicts on the outside, fears within, despaired of life itself, dishonor, distress, downcast, dying, excessive sorrow, extreme poverty, great distress and anguish of heart, great pressure, grieved, hard pressed on every side, hard work, sleepless nights and hunger, having nothing, longing, no peace of mind. Outwardly we are wasting away, overwhelmed, perplexed, persecuted, regarded as impostors, regret, sorrowful, struck down, sufferings, troubles, hardship, and distresses, We felt we had received the sentence of death. We groaned and are burdened. We had no rest. We were harassed at every turn with many tears. Whoa! This is one of my absolute spiritual heroes. This is some of the things he felt over the course between these couple letters he wrote. He went through some amazing trials, and he felt them. It wasn't just like, oh, nothing happened. I just walked through these valleys, and God's with me, and everything's good. It affected him. It was real. He despaired. And then the other side, but look what happened in the midst of that. In the middle of these trials, look what he says. Joy and hope, always rejoicing. An eternal glory that outweighs our troubles. Christ's love compels us. Comfort, compassion, complete confidence, delighted, encouraged, glad, glorious, good report, gracious favor, happy, hope. I take great pride in you. I am greatly encouraged. In all our troubles, my joy knows no bounds. Inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. It is God who makes both us and you stand firm, making many rich, much enthusiasm. My joy was greater than ever. No regret, not abandoned, not crushed, not destroyed, not in despair. Overflowing joy, patient endurance, possessing everything, refreshed, rich generosity. Share my joy. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. Sincere love, thanksgiving, the depth of my love, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the power of God, the surpassing grace God has given you. We do not lose heart. Weapons of righteousness, yet we live on. God will continue to deliver us. Wow. Last week when I shared this, somebody said, this would make a cool poem. Take some of these phrases and put it into a song or a poem. Amazing. Amazing how in the midst of life, through these hardships and happiness, with Jesus, there is joy, strength, and comfort. And so today I want to just share three truths from 2 Corinthians that I think help me and can help all of us to walk through the peaks and valleys and find joy, strength, and comfort in Jesus. And so the first truth is that God is compassionate. God is with us in our struggles. He comforts us and He sustains us. And so I want to just start with the biggest part of our faith. The good news of what God has done is that Jesus came into our world being divine, came into human world and took on human flesh, human challenges, human frailty. And He lived this beautiful life. And in it He was hated and persecuted, and He was killed on a cross in a torturous death. And He died in our place as a substitute for us. And then Jesus rose again from the dead. And He rose again not so that He could just dwell off with His Father somewhere, but He rose from the dead so that He could give His life to us. And every single person who puts their faith in Jesus receives the life of Jesus inside of them. So God is with us, not just with us, but in us. Anyone who puts their faith in Christ receives God, receives the Holy Spirit within. That's amazing. Jesus isn't just in heaven waiting for us someday. Jesus is here in every single person who has faith in them. And because of that, He is obviously very close as you can be. And He's compassionate, and He walks with us. In 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 11, we're going to start with this first paragraph. Amazing truth. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. Okay, so God comforts us. We share in the sufferings of Jesus. That doesn't mean that we have to go and die and be crucified to be a savior for the world. But we share in those sufferings of Jesus, of being misunderstood, of being hated, of being persecuted, of the weight of death and the enemy against us. Those troubles overflow into us, but the comfort overflows into us. And throughout my life, there's been times where I'm like, I don't want anything to do with comfort. Even I was reading something and it was talking about nurturing. And I'm like, forget nurturing. In my life, there's been times like, that is sissy stuff. Being comforted is sissy stuff. Well, I hate to break it to all of you and some of you brothers. We need comfort. It's not sissy stuff. God gives us comfort. And just as he comforted his son Jesus, just as the comfort overflowed into Jesus' life, it overflows into our life from the inside through the Spirit. And we are comforted in our troubles. And it goes on to say, because we've been comforted, we are able to comfort others. The reason that we are able to offer comfort to others in the most powerful ways is because we've allowed ourselves to be comforted. And in our lives, when we've walked through the pain and reality of life and received God's care and comfort in it, then we're able to comfort others. And the people who have walked through their own hardship and found God in them are able to truly care for other people. And from that, we have something to offer. And so I just encourage all of us, God is a God of comfort. Will we allow him to comfort us? Will we hear his comforting voice? He goes on to say, in this, as he continues, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death. And Paul's not really flippant. To me, when Paul says he despaired of life itself, when he felt like he had the death sentence, he's not being dramatic. He truly thought he was going to die. Because he had been stoned. He had been beaten. He'd received all the lashes. He'd been shipwrecked. He knew all these things. And so, but this happened, he goes on to say, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Okay, so God comforts us, and God sustains us. God gives us strength. God upholds us. God allows us to persevere and keep going in life. When we want to quit, when we're ready to just toss in the towel and leave, he gives us the strength. And I don't know if Paul is asking that question to himself like we all do in hardship. Why? Why is this happening? Why? But he gives an answer, whether he was asking it really deeply himself or not. He says, why does this happen? This happened that we might rely on God and not ourselves. Why is there hardship? At least one of the reasons is so that we know we're insufficient. And we know God can do this. That we would truly rely on him. God is able to uphold us through anything we go through. Because he's with us. Because he strengthens us. He comforts us. He strengthens us. And he adds on to that because prayer is powerful. Because when other people around are praying for us, we have strength. And he even asks, he invites, pray for me. And the cool thing is, and then at the end he says, and if we've prayed for somebody and God strengthens them, we all rejoice. Yeah! We prayed for that. We asked God and he did that. We share in that. In some amazing way of prayer, we participated in seeing God strengthen that person and come through in that need in their life. And so we rejoice together. And may we not underestimate the power of prayer. As we pray for each other, there is amazing power. May we continue to pray for each other. Thank you for praying for each other. Thank you for your prayers in my life. So the next truth that I think is really powerful that Paul gives us walking through the middle of trials, the ups and downs of life, is that there's a vastness of reality, life, and eternity that we cannot see, but we can anchor our hope in it. There is so much that's beyond our seeing, and yet there is hope because it is as real as the things we see. 2 Corinthians 4, Paul says, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Wow. Okay. So we fix our eyes on what we can't see. Like what, Paul? What did you just say? Okay, so look, you guys, this is what you need to look at. Look at the stuff that you can't see. Look at the stuff that you can't look at. Like, are you, okay? Thanks, Paul. That's really helpful. Open your eyes and look around at the things that you can't see. Like, check. Because obviously it's not our physical eyes, but the eyes of our heart, our spiritual eyes, to see there's an entire reality beyond the limitations of our own visual eyes. And some of those, he's saying, outwardly we're wasting away. Those of you that are like me that are over 40, you feel this. Outwardly we're wasting away. When I was young, I didn't feel it as much. I'm still young, whatever. When I was younger, I didn't feel it as much. I felt it some. But we're wasting away outwardly. It's happening. This world is decaying. If you own a house, you're repairing it every year for sure. It's crumbling. But inwardly, we're being renewed day by day. Outwardly, I'm falling apart. On the inside, I'm being rebuilt because God's power within us, in the Spirit, He renews us. He's making us new. Those little things, He renews those. He renews the little broken pieces and the frustrations and continues to breathe life and love into those. And He goes on to say that our hardships, our troubles, are achieving glory for us. There's good that will come out of those. We can't see it. We don't see what is going to happen out after we die. But there are amazing rewards, and even here, there's amazing fruit for these hardships that we walk in, that God is glorified, and that we share in His glory, in that excitement of what is happening in His kingdom. The third truth, God has blessed us with other people to care for us, pray for us, and encourage us. What an amazing gift we have in other people. 2 Corinthians 7:4. Paul writes, I've spoken to you with great frankness. I take great pride in you. I'm greatly encouraged. In all our troubles, my joy knows no bounds. For when we came into Macedonia, we had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn. Conflicts on the outside, fears within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And not only by his coming, but also by the comfort you had given him. He told us about your longing for me, your deep sorrow, your ardent concern for me, so that my joy was greater than ever. Awesome. And I really connect with that phrase. Conflicts on the outside, fears within. There's this outer stuff we deal with, and then there's this inner stuff. And maybe it's because I live in America. I feel like most of my outer stuff is like third world problems. You know, I finally got my glasses in the mail. I had to wait like 3 weeks with broken glasses. There's some hardship in that. And there's some physical hardships that we have, certainly health-wise, and we do have those. But for me, it's the inner stuff that drives me crazy sometimes. My own fears and frustrations and my anxiety and my, I don't know, confusion and different things. The things on the inside are just as real, and we battle those. But in the middle of those, our joy knows no bounds. What an amazing phrase. My joy knows no bounds in the middle of all my troubles. And he goes on to say, you guys comforted me. That's cool. That somebody brought comfort to Paul, this spiritual giant, you know. That we comfort each other, that we are able to care for each other. May we truly allow ourselves to be cared for. So the question I have for us today is, will you allow yourself to be cared for? Will you allow God to care for you? To truly care for you, for what you go through, for where you're at? Will you allow Him to care for you through other people? Will you allow yourself to be that needy, that you would receive care, that you would receive love and support from God within yourself and out from other people? Will you truly allow His care and comfort to permeate inside of you? And in my life, I have seen God in some of the most profound ways for me personally. The ways that I have seen God probably work the most in my life are the times that I have been extremely honest with God. And the times that I've gone with God and just opened it all up. Said, here's where I'm at, God. Which is funny. It's not like He was like, oh, really? You hid that from me. Wow. Glad you shared that. It's like, yeah. So I feel like it's more for us than for God. God is offering us care and comfort and love and support all the time. But do we take the time to stop and receive it? And in those times when I've just been honest with God, here's where I'm at, here's my doubts, here's my fears, here's my struggles and frustrations, here's where I'm angry, here's where I'm lonely and I need you, and here's where I feel worthless, and I just keep screwing up day after day, and here's where I am, God. Those are the times that I've heard His voice the most. Those are the times that I've had Him speak amazing truths into me. And there's been times that I've gone for a prayer walk, and in that prayer walk been in tears, and came back so alive that I was probably an inch taller and just ready to do anything. Because God met me and spoke to me in that. And so I want to invite you guys into that. I want to ask you just to take a little time right where you're at, and just stop, turn off the entire world, and just for a couple minutes, I just want to ask you just to sit here with God. And just sit here where He's at. And will you allow Him to care for you? Will you allow Him to speak His love and truth into you? Because He cares for you. Because there's an entire unseen reality that's bigger than this. And because He's put people around you. If that card is helpful, I invite you to use that as just a springboard for prayer. We're going to take 2 minutes and just be in the presence of God. God, who am I that you would care for me? Thank you. That I matter to you enough that you would send your comfort and love to me. Thank you for your unending strength that flows through our veins. Thank you for the victorious DNA that you've given us. Thank you for your presence, your power, and your spirit in our lives. Thank you for walking through the valleys and the peaks with us. Thank you for bringing good through all of them. Thank you for writing a good story. May we each see you in the peaks and valleys. In Jesus' name, amen.